जय रघुनाथ कुंज विहारी गोपी जन बालगिरि मन दाने जय राधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन बालगिरि मन दाने यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुन थे रामन चरे जमुन थे रावण चरे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरि मन दाने यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुनाथ रावण चरे जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय नित्य लीला परवस्त अस्त परवस्त श्री श्री मनीष देवान ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नितानंद श्री अद्वैत श्री राधा श्री वासुदेव श्री गौर भक्तिवृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भगवतम की जय गौर भीमनंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द समग्र गॉडेस ऑल ग्लोरी टू द समग्र गॉडेस ऑल ग्लोरी टू द समग्र गॉडेस ऑल ग्लोरी टू द लॉर्ड श्री श्री गुरु गौरंग. It's interesting to watch all the young students in their various poses, half poses and quarter poses of obeisances. That's for old farts like me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this worship Wednesday from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, second chapter, text number 16. Mam keda dat yat eta dajasya janma. Vedam badam yad vasudeva gehi. Braje chavasho ri bahadeva swayam. Pura vya vyatsit yad ananta virya. Mam keda yat yeta rajasya janma. Vidambanam yad vasudeva gehi. Braje chavasho vi braje braje chavasho hi bayad heva svayam. Puradhya vyaksit yad anantavirya. Please chant. Somebody. Kedayati tarajasya janma. Students. So before I go to the word for word, I just want to mention that it's, you know, you get to a certain age and you like to see what's the future hold, what's down the road, how are things going to continue. And I have to tell you, quite frankly, it's just absolutely enlivening to look around this room and see close to 100 students all sitting here actively taking part in the Bhagavatam class, actively taking part in learning Krishna consciousness. So my obeisances to you and to your parents for facilitating this. Thank you very much. Mom, to me, Kedayate gives me distress. Etat, this, Ajasya, of the unborn, Janma, birth, Vidambanam, bewildering, yet that. Vasudeva Gehi, the home of Vasudeva, Braje, and Vrindavan. That's the single most important word you should remember this whole verse. Cha, also. Vasa, inhabitation. Ari, enemy. Bayat, because of fear. Eva, as if. Swayam, himself. Purat, from Mathura Puri. Vyavyasit, fled. Yet, one who is. Anantavirya, unlimitedly powerful. translation. When I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Vasudeva, although he is unborn, how he went away from his father's protection in Braja and lived there, how he went away from his father's protection to Braja and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy, and how, although unlimitedly powerful, he fled from Mathura in fear. All these bewildering incidents give me distress. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Because Lord Sri Krishna is the original person from whom everything and everyone has emanated, Aham Savasya Prabhavo, Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Janmadyasya Yataha, Vedanta Sutra 112, nothing can be equal to or greater than him. The Lord is supremely perfect, and whenever he enacts his transcendental pastimes as a son, a rival, or an object of enmity, he plays the part so perfectly that even pure devotees like Uddhava are bewildered. For example, Uddhava knew perfectly well that Lord Sri Krishna is eternally existent and can neither die nor disappear for good. Yet he lamented for Lord Krishna. All these events are perfect arrangements to give perfection to his supreme glories. For the sake of enjoyment, it is for enjoyment's sake. When a father plays with his little son, and the father lies down on the floor as if defeated by the son, it is just to give the little son pleasure and nothing more. Because the Lord is all powerful, it is possible for him to adjust opposites such as birth, and no birth, power, or defeat, fear, or fearlessness. A pure devotee knows very well how it is possible for the Lord to adjust opposite things. But he laments for the non-devotees who, not knowing the supreme glories of the Lord, think of him as imaginary simply because there are so many apparently contradictory statements in the scriptures. Factually, there is nothing contradictory. Everything is possible when we understand the Lord as the Lord and not as one of us, with all our imperfection. Very telling sentence there. When we understand the Lord as the Lord and not as one of us, with all of our imperfections. Excuse me. Om Ajnana Timiram Dasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangum Lam Jayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Vinitavinam Vancha Kalpaturibhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vahevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Vakkarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. So this verse, it continues with our examination of the character, the mood, and the thinking of the topmost devotee Uddhava as he's being questioned by Vidura. This is, of course, the process of acquiring knowledge and understanding in the devotional path, actually in any path, but particularly in regards to this subject matter in the devotional path, is hearing from those that can instruct us. We don't associate with everyone in the same way. Haridas Thakur explains that there's four ways we associate. One is that we take instruction from and guidance from our seniors and serve them. The other is that we share our mind and have the mind revealed to us by our contemporaries. The third is that we give guidance to and instruct our juniors. And the fourth is those personalities that we respect but keep a distance from. Notice nowhere in those four is openly criticize and find fault and point out the shortcomings of. If you're unable to appreciate someone's character, then we respectfully keep a distance from them. So this nature that we see in this particular chapter here is exactly what the devotional process is all about. Inquiry and answer. So many of us, we came to this process of Krishna consciousness inquiring from Srila Prabhupada, what is our purpose in life? What do we do? Many of us had become dissatisfied at an early age and sought other alternatives. After we had burned our way through endless varieties of those alternatives, we were fortunate to come to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So this is what we see going on here with Vidura and Uddhava. Now, in this relatively short purport, there's actually quite a bit to unpack. And by the mercy of the devotees, we're going to attempt to do that today. One of the main principles of this verse is dualities. Dualities are something that we all experience. The nature of this world is it is filled with dualities. I'd like the students, maybe they can give me three or four examples of dualities. Who can tell me some dualities in this world? Really? Yes. If you raise your hand, you got to have an answer. All right. Dualities, yeah, that means opposite. Thank you, Deshi, ready? Dualities means opposites. So maybe that makes it easier. Who can name some opposites of this world? Yes? Louder?
Night and day.
Okay, night and day. Okay, there's one. Yes? Fire and water. Okay. Left and right. Left and right, yeah, not so much opposite, more compatibilities. Yes?
Food and water?
Mm. What's that?
North and south.
Oh, okay. Day and night, we already mentioned. So I'm looking for some things like hot and cold.
Happiness and distress.
Happiness and distress is the next on the list. Yes. Birth and death.
Victory and defeat.
Victory and defeat. Okay, so that's good for that. So in this conversation, we see manifest in Uddhava a type of duality that he sees related completely to the pastimes of the Lord. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we don't think of him having dualities in his activities, because dualities is indicative, generally speaking, is indicative of temporary nature. For some time it's hot, for some time it's cold. For some time it's day, for some time it's night. For some times we're happy, for some time we're distressed. So these things are temporary and they come and go. The pastimes of the Lord are nitya, eternal. So, but due to the divine supreme nature, as Srila Prabhupada notes in these opening lines of this purport, we can see that there are some things that appear contradictory. Prabhupada refers right off the bat in this purport to verse from the Bhagavad Gita, verse number 10:8. Any of the students know that verse? Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, verse number 8. Any shlokawalas, aspiring shlokawalas, soon to be shlokawalas?
Start the first line.
Ah, you want me to throw out a clue? All right. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Go on, go on. Yes, yes. I need a translator, and Mother Jayashree Radhe is my translator to kid language. All right. And you know, they say in traveling circles, they say you're only as good as your translator, so I'm pretty good today. All right. The translation to that verse, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. everything, not a couple of things, not five or six things, everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worshiping with all their hearts. So the point that Prabhupada's referring to this verse for is that opening line in the verse, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Krishna is the source of everything. So how is it that these activities are going on that are so confusing? As the source of everything, Krishna does everything perfectly. What's that? In the Bhagavad Gita, we also hear that every endeavor is covered by some degree of fault. So, you know, we generally have something distracting us, something going on that keeps us, you know, this way or that way. But Krishna, everything in his situation is perfect. This means that we don't see the factor of duality, which is indicated in something less, in that which is perfect. There is no duality there. Yet, the verse is very clear. Uddhava is seeing that Krishna is the supreme person, the topmost personality, and he's free to do as he pleases. I mean, just imagine that. That's the desire of every kid, right? Just let me do what I want. You know, I don't want to have to listen to my parents. I don't have to listen to my teacher. Just let me do what I want. What's that they say? I found that all the restrictions of my childhood are now my goals as an adult. Be in bed by 9 o'clock. You know, don't go out and do anything crazy, you know, like that. So you'll find as you go on that, you know, it's not so much about that. But Krishna, he has that perfect ability. Everything he does is perfect. And because of that, he's free to do as he wants. But he's unborn and he's eternal. His name is Aja. Aja means the first. So he's manifesting himself in birth pastimes. We don't see that Krishna takes his birth according to Bhagavad Gita and according to the Bhagavatam, but we see that he does this for the sake of pastimes, for having some relationship with his devotees. And as the source of all strength, as the source of all power, he's running away from his enemy. Now, if someone challenges you to a fight, generally speaking, you don't want to run away. Ah, he's just a coward. What's it they used to say in the Western cowboy shows? Yellow belly, or he's got a yellow stripe, meaning he's afraid to fight. So that wouldn't be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One of the six opulences of Bhagavan is that he's all-powerful. So if you're all-powerful, why aren't you going to take the fight? Well, here Krishna has avoided that fight. On numerous occasions in his pastimes, he avoided a fight. So all of these things and similar other dualities that have been observed by Uddhava, they've given him a distress. A distress based on trying to understand how is this possible. Now, it's important to realize that this distress that Uddhava is experiencing, it's not out of confusion. It's not out of anxiety or ignorance. You know, if we're distressed, it's generally because we've got some problem going on we can't figure a solution to, or somebody's given us a really hard time, or, you know, we're just in such pain we don't know how to alleviate it. But here, the distress is that Uddhava's seeing Krishna accept different roles when he doesn't really have to. Krishna's not required to appear as a cowherd boy in Braja. Krishna's not required to appear as Nrsingadev in the home of Hiranyakasipu. Krishna's not required to appear as Vamanadev and take all the possessions from Bali Maharaj. He's not required to do any of that. But he does. And in so doing, he places himself in some difficult situations. This is what's distressful to Uddhava. How to understand this? Yep. Prabhupada notes in these first few sentences, the Lord does this and he does it perfectly. The goal of every student when it's test time is to get that test back with an A+ on it and a big smiley face. I was to, this is the, you know, real aspiration, because this means, all right, total success. I did it perfectly. I got an A, not only an A, but I got an A plus, and I got a smiley face. This is like, no. So Krishna, he does everything perfectly too, and this is indicated by the invocation of Sri Ashupanasad. Who knows the invocation amongst our students from Sri Ashupanasad? And as my translators encouraged, I'll give you the first line. Om Purnamada. Ah, there's our Slokawala right there. You better be, your father's a Slokawala. All right, so the personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this material world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. That's a tough one there. But basically what it's saying, if you have a complete whole here and you take something away, that's going to be complete, and nothing was taken. It still remains complete and whole. So with these perfections and with these abilities to expand in this way, how is it that Krishna is appearing in a way that is contradictory? Because he's the absolute truth, because he's perfect, everything he does is perfect. Even if it means that he's playing a subordinate role as a son, as a rival, as an enemy. So how perfect is he? Well, he's so perfect that even the Lord's pure devotees become bewildered. What is the quality of a pure devotee? Is that they're always able to see clearly. They have that spiritual vision. But the pure devotee becomes bewildered in these pastimes of the Lord. And this is something the Lord likes to do in his pastimes, bewilder his pure devotees. Who can, amongst the students left here, who can give me an example of Krishna bewildering his devotee? That's the exact example I was looking for. Thank you, Narottam. When Krishna eats dirt, and Balaram goes to tell on him. Some of you may have that experience, brothers, or maybe classmates. Mom, you know what he just did? Teacher, I want to report on Bhakta Das. He did, you know, like that. So Balaram goes to Mother Jasoda. Says, Mother Jasoda, Krishna just ate dirt. Jasoda goes to Krishna, you ate dirt? No, Mother, Balaram's lying. Balaram doesn't usually lie. He said, you ate dirt. I didn't eat dirt. All right, let's settle this. Open your mouth. If there's dirt in your mouth, then we know. See, that's the test. If there's dirt in your mouth, if you're accused of stealing and glubjimining, there's a glubjimining in your mouth, you're probably guilty. So Krishna opens his mouth. And what happens when he opens his mouth? Does Mother Jasoda see dirt in there?
No.
What does she see?
The universe.
The universes. All the universes, not just a universe, not just the planet Earth, the entire cosmos. And Mother Jasoda becomes completely bewildered. She can't understand what's going on here. So in order to keep the pastimes of love and full service to him, when he's in a particular role of dealing with a mother, a father, a friend, he causes his devotees to become bewildered. As soon as Mother Jasoda saw that and thought, oh, my Krishna's son, a personality, you know, Yoga Maya back over her. Oh, my little Krishna, here, let me give him some milk and give him a little nap. So this is the divine nature and pastimes of the Lord, to keep his devotees bewildered so that he can enjoy the pastimes. Interesting story. We all know, just as you were all in the Gurukul, Krishna and Balaram went to the Gurukul. They chose Sandipani Muni as their Gurukula teacher. And there's very specific reason for this. Sandipani Muni, you may not know, was a Shivite. He wasn't a Vaishnava. He was a Shivite. And this is told in the Gopal Champu. It's also quoted from the Uttara Purana, 8th chapter. Sanyamani Muni, being a Shivite, would not recognize Krishna and Balaram as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, and his expansions. And therefore, he was the perfect teacher. Now, at their disposal would have been, say, Srila Vyasadeva. They could have gone to him. But Srila Vyasadeva is a pure devotee of the Lord and would have immediately recognized Krishna and Balaram as a personality of God. How could he have a disciple-guru relationship with them? Disciple-guru relationship means instruction, chastisement, guidance, correction, etc., etc. If you're seeing your student as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how are you going to do that? Therefore, Gopal Champu mentions that Sandipani Muni was chosen. It even gives the verse in the translation. Excuse me. And by that choosing, they were able to stay in that role which was required at that time in their pastimes. A Shivite is a worshipper of Lord Shiva, if you don't know that. Yeah. So he wasn't a worshipper of Lord Vishnu, he was a worshipper of Lord Shiva. So this is a scenario where by the devotee being in some type of covering, so-called illusion, he was able to serve the Lord so the Lord could fulfill that part of his pastime. So in his pastimes, the Lord wants everything perfectly suited for the execution of the mood of that pastime. Vamana Dev. When Vamana first appeared, he appeared in his full Vishnu form. Four arms, Kastuba jewel, Srivatsa, everything. But when he went before Bali Maharaj, he changed himself to a dwarf Brahmin. Because for the pastime of Bali Maharaj, he had to be seen not as the personality of Godhead, who, yes, I'm willing to give you everything, but as a Brahmin beggar. So how the Lord appears and how he relates with his different devotees is all a part of how that particular pastime is going. Now, Prabhupada mentions here an example. It's a very wonderful example, very easily understood by us, maybe especially still by those of us that are grandparents. Prabhupada says here, when a father loves playing, when a father plays with his little son and the father lies down on the floor as if defeated by the son, it is just to give the little son pleasure and nothing more. Now, when my granddaughters were visiting, we had this game we played. Now, my youngest granddaughter, dear Amani, was a year at the time. She's two now. And then my oldest granddaughter, her sister, was four. So we had this game. They liked to sit down in front of me, and we would exchange this gibberish language. Just completely made-up sounds, and I would speak to them as if I was giving them directions and instructions, and they would speak in a tone, completely gibberish language with a question mark at the end of it, and then I would speak gibberish words with an exclamation point at the end of it, and we would go back and forth like this, and they just loved it and laughed and laughed and laughed. Completely useless pastime. Completely useless subject matter. Matter of fact, there was no subject matter. But they had the greatest time doing it. And the pleasure was in pretending we couldn't speak English and that we had our own made-up language. So why was this done? Simply for their enjoyment. Now, the first time I did this, they thought it was cute. But then they really wanted to do it more often. They come in, Grandpa, let's speak language, you know, whatever language they did. So we sit down and do this. So do it again, just to make them happy. So in this way, the activity is simply for the satisfaction of the child. Something that was pretended to be but wasn't really there. This is the concept behind the idea of Krishna's pastimes with his devotees. That he takes on these roles simply for pleasure, for enjoyment's sake. Another game my granddaughter Deer liked to do is throw the ball and hit me with it, and then I would feign being knocked over. Little rubber ball, and she'd throw it, and as soon as I'd hit the floor, she would laugh. So we do it again, and again. And those of you that have little kids know it goes for 108 times in a row. And she would never tire of it. I got tired about time number six, but you just keep on. Prabhupada also gives the famous story with the prime minister. As Prabhupada tells the story, They may neglect that if Krishna is God, why is Mother Jasoda binding him? But they do not know that that is simply for the Lord's pleasure. That is pleasure. There are many instances. I'll cite one. There was one big prime minister in England, in Gladstone. Perhaps you've heard of the name of Queen Victoria's prime minister. So somebody came to see him, and the servant informed him, the prime minister is a little busy now, if you'll just sit here in the waiting room and wait. So he was sitting there and waiting, and waiting. 1 hour passed, and still no message is coming out from the prime minister's office. So then he thought, what's going on? So he went and opened the door to peer in and see. And he saw that the prime minister was on all fours playing horse, and his grandchildren are riding on his back, simply for their enjoyment. He was the prime minister, but he'd become the horse for his grandchildren. So Prabhupada explains this, that, you know, simply for pleasure, we assume so many roles that may not be what we regularly do. So the point here is that Krishna does all these things for his own pleasure. And in so doing, sometimes he even bewilders his pure devotee, who otherwise would know very well the divine nature of the Lord. So why would devotees like Uddhava, ourselves maybe, become filled with distress at seeing these pastimes of the Lord if they know this? Is it because the devotee's faith is shaken by seeing these things? Do we lose faith when we see that Krishna goes from Mathura so that he doesn't have to battle in Mathura? Is it because we've lost our understanding of the personality of Godhead's position? Prabhupada says, no, it's none of that. And then Prabhupada gives an explanation of what it is. A pure devotee knows very well how it is possible for the Lord to adjust opposite things. But he laments for the non-devotees who, not knowing the supreme glories of the Lord, think of him as an imaginary person simply because there are so many apparent contradictions. So many apparent contradictions. So the pure devotee, he knows internally, solidly, the position of the personality of Godhead. But due to the external pastime, he may become influenced in this way. How many of you have heard the word Maya? Generally speaking, we think of Maya as, you know, bad. But Maya is just the Lord's energy. And the energy manifests in different ways. The electric energy can manifest either in turning on a heater or turning on a refrigerator. But it's the same electric energy. But it manifests in different ways. So, in the same way, the activities may manifest in a certain way, but this doesn't change the underlying principle of that energy. So there's Yoga Maya and there's Maha Maya. Yoga Maya means that mystical energy that the Lord covers his devotees for his pastimes. And Maha Maya means that material energy that encompasses the soul and brings him into different types of illusion. So these are the different ways that the Lord has activities that can be confusing, bewildering to the pure devotee. Now, usually, as Narottam cited the pastime here, when a child opens their mouth and the mother looks inside, she doesn't usually see the planets and universe and everything in there. Maybe sometimes, you know, depending on who the kid is, you might find a marble or a key or a bottle lid, you know, something like that. The kid puts it, you know, there's that stage. Everybody knows that stage, Anamoya. The six stages, Anamoya is everything by sense of taste. It all goes in the mouth. If you watch little babies, it's like that. Everything they touch goes into the mouth. Doesn't matter if it should or shouldn't. If they get their hand on it, it goes in the mouth. Because they're developing their sense. They're developing their experiences. So everything that they're experiencing at that point in their life is through the mouth. So, and it goes. So sometimes the mother has to take it out, so many different things. But what we don't find in the little baby's mouth is the entire universe. Now, this doesn't cause any doubt in the mind of a devotee because they realize that ultimately the Lord can do this. There's the famous story of Sakshi Gopal. Sakshi Gopal was a deity, and there were two Brahmins, an older Brahmin and a younger Brahmin, and they were going, and the older Brahmin was assisted by the younger Brahmin, was very much appreciative and said, "I'm so grateful, I'm going to arrange for you to be able to marry my daughter." And the younger Brahmin said, "Nah, you know, I'm not really on your class, on your level, you know, maybe, no, I've made this vow in front of Sakshi Gopal, therefore it's true." Of course, we know ultimately the family members are not so in favor of this. So the younger Brahmin stood up for the older Brahmin's principles and integrity and said, "But he promised in front of the deity." The brother was not so happy. He said, "The deity." He said, "If the deity is the witness, then you bring the deity here. Now, if something happens in your home or some far distance away from the temple, and someone says, well, if that's true, if it was done in front of it, then you bring Shamsundar here. Now, what's the chances of you getting Shamsundar to walk to your house?" Pretty simple. But when the young Brahmin went before Sakshi Gopal, he made this plea. And Sakshi Gopal said, "Oh, I am simply a deity. I can't walk anywhere." And Sakshi Gopal said, "Excuse me. If you can talk, you can walk. So let's go." So in this way, the devotee bound up the Lord, and the Lord was required. There's another story Prabhupada tells with Narada Muni. And Narada Muni was passing along, and one very learned scholar saw Narada Muni, big pundit, you know, sitting on his seat. And he said, "Oh, Naradaji, where are you going?" He said, "Oh, I'm going to Vaikuntha to see my Lord." "Oh, you're going there? He gives free passage to anyone to go there. Will you ask Narayan one question for me? Ask him, when will I get liberation?" Narada said, yes, I'd be happy to." So he walked a little further, and then he met a cobbler. We all know the story. And when he met the cobbler, the shoemaker — shoemaker means, you know, he's dealing with dead animal skins, not a very elevated position. And so, at any rate, so he said, also he asked him, you know, "Can you ask the Lord when I'll get my salvation?" Narada Muni said, "All right." So Narada Muni made his journey to Vaikuntha, had darshan with the Lord. After finishing, he said, "Oh, my dear Lord, I have a question for you from two of your devotees." "Yes, what is that question?" So he said, "One is a very learned scholar, a great brahmana, and he has asked me, but also a cobbler, your devotee, has asked me, when will they get liberation?" Narayan didn't even have to think for a moment. He said, "The cobbler, he will get liberation at the end of this life. That Brahmin, he will have to take many lives to get liberation." So Narada Muni was a little inquisitive. This seemed contrary. Here again, something that appeared to be a duality, but this great Brahmin, he knows so many slokas, he performs so many juggas, he's engaged in so many activities, and the cobbler is dealing with dead animal skins, making shoes and things. He's going to get liberation before him. How is that? So to answer Narada, Narayan said, "When you go back, you explain my answer to them and then note their response." Okay. So he went back and he met the Brahmin first. The Brahmin said, "So, sir, did you," Prabhupada always uses this word, "sir. So, I mean, you would probably say, you know, Prabhuji or Guruji, whatever. But anyway, Prabhupada says, "So, sir, did you inquire about my liberation?" Narada Muni said, yes. Lord Narayan said, "You will have to wait for many, many births." No. He did not say many, many births. And Narada said, he said, "You have to wait many, many births." I don't know. Anyway, what was the Lord doing at that time? And as he had been instructed by Lord Narayan, he said, "Oh, well, the Lord was pulling an elephant through the eye of a needle." Now, when the Brahmin heard this, he said, "What? What? An elephant through the eye of a needle?" As Prabhupada says, "All right, sir, namaskar. You were telling big, big stories. You're telling big, big stories, but we cannot believe them. You're just making this up." So imagine, you meet Narada Muni, you ask him something to do for you. When he goes to Vaikuntha, he comes back, and then you say, no, you're just making these stories up. So the Brahmin obviously didn't have very much faith. So then he went to the cobbler. And we know the cobbler's response. When did my Lord say I would get salvation? He said, He said, you'll get salvation immediately. And what was my Lord doing? And he told him, he's pulling an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the cobbler's like, oh, my dear Lord is so amazing. He can do so many things. This is the mood of a devotee. Whatever the Lord is doing, he appreciates and accepts that. He said, I'm seeing daily how the Lord is putting a big banyan tree into the small seed. So there are thousands of seeds. Why not an elephant with the eye of a needle? So in this way, we see that the devotee appreciates whatever activity the Lord may be doing, even if it appears contradictory, or even if it appears not in line with his potency. Bhagavan means Krishna has so many amazing potencies. So for him to act not using those potencies can cause confusion for one who is not fully situated. Not that Uddhava is not fully situated, but for the sake of the conversation between he and Vidura, some different moods are coming out which will be resolved throughout this chapter here. So Prabhupada points out again, the devotee accepts that the Lord can do anything, but his distress is not because, oh, the Lord has done something I don't understand. His distress, as Prabhupada mentions, is because he laments for the non-devotees who, not knowing the supreme glories of the Lord, think of him as imaginary simply because there are so many apparent contradictions. If we have contradictions, we begin to dismiss. I remember when I was a young man, my father actually smoked when I was a young boy. I remember seeing my mother and father both smoking. And when I became a teenager, my mother and father both stopped smoking. And then, of course, told me, don't smoke. Now, I never made the connection until I came to Prabhupada's shelter and he explained this scenario. You know, but they were actually setting a standard. Okay, we're going to tell him not to smoke, but we're standing around the house smoking. That's not going to work. So they gave it up. So in this way, we see that there's a contradiction if they say one thing and do the other. You know, you really shouldn't smoke. It's not good for you. It's bad for your health. Can I have another one? So if we have someone that's giving us direction, giving us guidance, giving us instruction, but they're doing the opposite of that, then we become a little confused. We don't accept them as an authority. So when Krishna manifests as Bhagavan, the most powerful, but runs away from a battle, or when Krishna takes his birth in a prison cell, when he is Aja, the unborn, and has no beginning and end, all of these different things may confuse the non-devotee. It may confuse that person that doesn't appreciate the mystical potency of the Lord. So for a fixed and knowledgeable devotee, which is what we should all be striving to be, we shouldn't just stay on the neophyte platform. Prabhupada expected more of us. Prabhupada expected that we would advance and become mature in the understanding of Krishna consciousness, that would be very stable, that would be steady and fixed, that would have knowledge, determination. These are the things that a disciple is expected to manifest in their process of devotional service. So for a devotee that is like that and knows the true spiritual and internal nature of the Lord, such apparent contradictions are never a point of confusion. They're never a point of doubt, because they simply increase the devotee's appreciation of the mystical nature of the Lord. After all, Krishna is known as the master of all mystics. Many of us parents remember that book. I probably read it to my kids 1,008 times. Krishna, the master of all mystics. Krishna is able to do so many things, and for the devotee that is fixed in devotional service, even if they appear contradictory, they're able to stay focused. So this is some of the points that, you know, are there in this particular purport here. And very nice chapter because it helps us to see the practical dealings between a spiritual master and a disciple, Vidura and Uddhava, in the sense of inquiry and understanding and explanation, and to appreciate the internal mood of Uddhava while we're learning all of this. So we'll finish there. Thank you very much. Anybody has any comments or questions, corrections, chastisements? All right. We're free to go. Spend the rest of the day remembering Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.